filing the SEC complaint against Goldman Sachs, we get this reassuring message from their general counsel, Greg Palm.
We would never intentionally mislead anyone, certainly not our clients or our counterparties. We have never condoned and would never condone inappropriate behavior by any of our people.
Palm was speaking on a conference call in which he also talked about huge earnings that they made during the first quarter. He says the company will take punitive measures against any of its employees that they find have acted improperly in their dealings with clients. One such employee has turned out to be the main character so far in this whole story of Goldman Sachs and the SEC. Fabrice Touré, a 29-year-old trader, the SEC says he devised the transaction that they're complaining about, the one that is fraudulent, prepared the marketing materials, and communicated with investors. He so far is the only Goldman employee named in the SEC's complaint. He is on indefinite paid leave, right, Louise?
That's right. That came out yesterday. Fabrice is this European. He grew up in France. He came over to the U.S. in 2001 to study operations at Stanford. He is very bright. And then he joined Goldman. And for a long time, he worked in kind of obscurity in this little corner of the mortgage trading unit. But what he was doing is he was working with a colleague named Jonathan Eagle, who's not named in the complaint, putting together these deals called abacus that included negative bets against the housing market. So no one really cared about these back when the market was roaring. But when the market showed cracks and started falling apart, these deals became of great interest within Goldman and outside of Goldman because it allowed some hedge fund managers to get short on the housing market.
This guy was like a rising star in the financial industry. He was the brilliant young buck of Goldman Sachs. And is his career pretty much toast?
Well, we'll have to see what happens with this complaint. But, you know, also yesterday it came out that the authorities in Britain are looking at this, the FSA, which is like the equivalent of the SEC. So it's definitely very serious. Now, the big question here is, you know, was he the only one really involved if these allegations turn out to be right? And will he have evidence? Will he talk to authorities and provide information about his superiors? You know, that there was actually a committee at Goldman that approved each of these deals, including the abacus deal. And so there may be more to come. We're going to have to see what evidence there is.
Is Goldman going to throw him under the bus? Are they perhaps hoping that the charges against him are protecting other executives at the company?
You know, Goldman is pulling kind of every lever it can right now. It was very unusual to have that general counsel on the earnings call yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I was on there. It was very interesting how the analysts, you know, were kind of more interested in this case than a blowout, huge, profitable quarter that they had. But also, you know, in Washington, they just hired an official from the Obama White House as a lawyer, Greg Craig, to represent them and help them get ready to meet with lawmakers there. So they're really looking for whatever they can do to help their image remain solid and to get through this.
And they're prepared to pay almost any price to get the representation that they need, as we've seen in terms of hires from government and the media. Let's talk about the culture of Goldman for a moment. Fabrice, was he one of the math geeks within the organization? Was he more of a traditional banker? Was he kind of an Ivy Leaguer? Where does he fit into this whole thing, and why was he under the radar?
Well, he was, you know, more in the math geek camp in terms of the brain power and his background, his training. I've had people who worked very close with me tell me that he and his colleague Jonathan Eagle were two of the very smartest people in that department.
Which is why they had autonomy.
They had some power over what they were doing, and they also, you know, early on saw the holes in the housing market. So that you had to kind of be thinking ahead to see that. But he was not a quiet geek. He wasn't one of those quiet geeks. You know, he was known to be a fast talker, very lively person. You know, it came out in an email in the SEC complaint that he called himself the Fabulous Fab. So he was, you know, kind of a schmoozer, and he used those skills to help sell these abacus deals.
Well, now explain this to me, Louise. It's Louise Story, Wall Street finance reporter for the New York Times. So obviously you can understand this better than I can. At the same time that you had this call in which they were announcing these incredible profits in the billions for the first quarter of this year, they also pointed out that they've how much money they've lost, and they wanted to make sure that everyone understood that this deal that Fabrice has been charged with, they lost money on that. What's the truth here? Are they talking about past losses and now they're okay?
Yeah, it's interesting. Usually they want to talk about the money they're making. And
right.
They're really hung up lately on some money they've lost. The money that they lost in this deal with Fabrice that they're talking about is because there was a piece of the deal left over he couldn't sell that Goldman got left with. And so yesterday on the call, the general counsel did say, well, we had skin in the game. So that shows that, you know, we wanted this deal to be good is essentially what he said. My reporting, though, as I've dug into it, I've found from people very close to the matter that Goldman did not want this piece back when this deal went down 3 years ago. Fabrice desperately tried to sell this piece, and he thought another party was going to buy it, and they backed out.
The piece that they lost money on.
The piece that now they're saying shows their good intentions, and they just got stuck with it. In the meantime, even when Fabrice was trying to sell it, others there were putting in all kinds of insurance that represented negative bets to protect them from losses that would have covered the losses on this. And so, you know, yes, they lost money in this piece, but when you evaluate this, you really need to look at the overall portfolio because that's how they look at it when they're doing their risk taking.
If they had good intentions, though, wouldn't there be evidence that Fabrice got sort of called on the carpet for this?
That's what we're waiting to see. Who else knew what and when?
He got a $2 million bonus for putting this deal together. And, of course, the big question out there, I'm sure, and a lot of all over Wall Street, is who is next? These SEC charges against Goldman are probably the first of other charges as they continue with their investigations into what happened.
I know they're looking. They're looking at everything, so we'll see.
Any bets on what firm we might be hearing from next?
I don't know.
She's not going
but,
there.
You know, read my coverage from December. We named some that did similar deals, but we'll have to wait and see.
Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for a partner, New York Times. Incredible reporting on all that's been going on with Goldman Sachs and other firms. Coming up, we're going to continue this conversation about finance and bailouts, but it's going to become a little personal. We continue our series, DIY Bailout, and this time it's all about how to negotiate. No shame in haggling over prices. We're going to tell you why you need to do it. That's in 10 minutes.